that's the problem, John.
Tonight, had to be free. Make some reference to the death that will renew people here this morning. Because this is so, indeed, on most occasions when Miss Icon, our innumerable souls who gather, sometimes there are souls who are drawn here, attracted by the conditions, by the love that flows from you, and the realization the possibility of communication. Many of them, of course, are complete strangers to you, and indeed to me also. But they come, and I feel sure in some measure they are comforted and helped. Because on these occasions, many are attracted, many indeed who are themselves earthbound and in need of help. There are many souls here whose task it is to help these souls, to endeavor to take them away from the earth vibration, help them to change their thoughts to the extent that in consequence they can release themselves from earthly things. I doubt very much if people in your world realize the innumerable souls who are oftentimes clinging to earth, clinging to old ideas, old thoughts, in some instances even old theology, old creeds. These things are so strong, so firmly fixed in their minds, that they hold to earth, and they have great pleasure in some instances of staying around people on earth, people that they've known, and in some instances they've loved. And this, of course, is not good. It is essential that those souls, when they leave the earth, in the sense of having left the body, they should release themselves from earthly thoughts, earthly things. They should enter into the new life and become part of it. And they should shake from themselves many of the things that once held them so firmly and strongly to the earth condition. Many find difficulty in doing this, and it is our task indeed to help them. And so oft times when I come to speak to you, souls do gather around, and they listen, and they take note of what is said. And while this is happening, other souls from other spheres, more highly advanced, come to them. And when this session is finished, they are taken, these souls, by these teachers, by these guides, into the environment of the spheres, away from the earth. Actually, although you do not perhaps always realize it, there is far more going on than you can possibly understand or comprehend. And not only is there joy in the communication that we share, but at the same time we are helping these unfortunate ones. Some of them, of course, have only just come over. Some have only been here, as you term time, a few days or weeks. And they are anxious, of course, in some instances particularly, to pass on a message or to communicate with some soul or friend on earth. And though we would like to help them in this respect, we realize that in many cases it is not possible. Their relations or friends on earth would not understand, indeed are not ready to receive such a message or such information as they may wish to pass on to them. We would like to use you, as I've often said, more fully, in many, many ways. But we realize that if we are to do the work that we wish to do, in the way in which we wish to do it, we must protect you, we must guard you against all kinds of influences, we must strengthen you physically and psychically and spiritually. Indeed, the work that we have already done may seem perhaps very small, but nevertheless we have indeed in some measure been able to help some souls to find truth, to find enlightenment, to find comfort. But I visualize the future, as I've often said to you, when you shall be so endowed, so blessed spiritually, that your gifts shall in consequence have developed to the extent whereby you shall be able to give forth even more than you do these things of spirit. But all this requires time, requires patience, means effort on your part and ours.
In what way? To give more time quietly to you.
Well, child, I do not, as so many do, feel that we should expect perhaps too much from those on earth that are our instruments. I am as enthusiastic and as anxious as any soul here to use the instrument I have chosen for this work to a higher and a greater degree, but at the same time, I do realize only too well that it is not wise to try to force issues, to try and do too much too soon. I know you may say to me that you have been developing, you have been working to this end for some considerable time. All this is true. But I've always been of the contention that if our work were to be done in the way in which it must be done, on the highest possible level, it will mean a slow development rather than a fast one. I think we have, in many respects, achieved a great deal. But I foresee opportunities arising for greater service. This I've often said to you. But to do this work, we must remember and we must realize that it shall obviously take from you a great deal. I must be convinced within myself that you can do this work in the way in which I wish it to be done. And to do this, your health to me is of paramount importance. I feel that you are physically strong. I feel that you are indeed much stronger than you were some 12 months ago.
Yes.
But it doesn't alter the fact that I know that if I were to use you too much and too often, if I were to take too much from you in this effort, it would not be good for you physically. And so, in consequence, I do that which I feel I am allowed to do, or which I feel is possible to do under the circumstances.
Yes. As long as I'm not I know I do in a measure, but as long as I'm not keeping back your plans, that's all I'm worried about.
No, child. No, not at all. But I know your world, and if I may say so, I know the spiritualistic world in which you move and have your being and in which you serve and endeavor. I know it too well not to know of its faults, its complexities. I know there are those in your world who appear on the surface to do far more than you do. I am not here to pass any undue, unfair comment, but I do say this, that our work must always be on the highest possible level. We must not, as it were, lower our standards. We must not try to curl favor in this quarter or that quarter by giving off the type of messages which, in themselves, when analyzed, have no or little spiritual bearing or quality. I am only concerned with spiritual truth.
Yes.
There will be those who seem to achieve a great deal because they seem to be able to provide what many of the people in your world desire, messages of a material nature. I am not a materialist, and I will not, and I do not intend to use you on that level. My work must always be spiritual, must always be on the highest possible level that I can achieve and attain through you, and I do not want your gifts to be used in the sense that so many are used, to pander to the individual, to give the kind of message which temporarily may be of some service, but has no spiritual significance. To me, spiritual truth, spiritual achievement and attainment, the bringing forth of the good in humanity, is my chief desire, my chief aim. And therefore, child, if sometimes the messages that you give are not always appreciated or appear to be, do not be despondent. Sometimes, of course, it is true we do give a material message, but it is indeed rather wrapped up, because we feel that that is the best way in which it shall be given. In exceptional cases, we do this.
I feel that they do appreciate what is given through me.
Yes, child, I do not dispute that, and that is not my point. In discussion, I realize that there are many who do, and I am happy and grateful that they do appreciate. But I am ever conversant with the conditions of varying churches, varying societies, where particularly the members, certain members expect certain things, and indeed the committees anticipate that the instrument shall pander.
Yes.
And this causes great distress to many of us on this side, who are only concerned with the spiritual welfare of humanity.
Yes.
To give the type of messages that some anticipate or expect would be lowering our standards, would indeed be defiling, in my opinion, our work. Always, my child, to me, our work is of prime importance.
Yes, which I try to make it mine too, as you know.
I couldn't do, child. But I mention all these points, bring these things into discussion, because I feel that those who may listen to these tapes may realize that they are missing the most important part of our work.
Yes.
You know only too well there are so many who are content with the messages, content with the surface, and will not dig underneath and search. Oftentimes people in your world who profess to be spiritually minded, profess to be spiritualists, have no real realization or knowledge of what it means. Their only concern is material benefit. We do not come to bring material benefits. We come to bring spiritual ones. I've never promised, I've never said at any time that our work, our task would be easy. I've never promised that things would necessarily always go smoothly. I've always said that I would endeavor at all times to help you in every possible conceivable way, so that you should continue on the highest possible level to do one's spirit. But there are certain material things which I have no power to alter. I know that you manage, as you say, you live reasonably comfortably. You do not lack the necessities. But you know, and I know, that it will not be any other than this. I know you do not seek it, you do not desire it. You only ask for health and strength to do the work of the Spirit until such time as you come here yourself. This, I feel sure, will be given to you. The ability to continue to do the work. You have a great inner strength, which many indeed might envy. You have an ability to overcome many things which time has proved you have the power to do. Sometimes when I've been to you, you shut yourself away, as it were, from the world, and you've entered into mental and spiritual communication with me and with others here. You've drawn very close to you. You've been able almost to transport you temporarily from earthly things. You have seen with the eye of the Spirit, and you have heard with the ears of the Spirit, and you have indeed been blessed. Strange, yet not strange. When you are alone, most humbly with you, of course, when you take the platform and you do the work, we are there. And we build, strange as it may seem to you, perhaps, even in a church dedicated to spiritual work, sometimes have to build a barrier. We have to build a power, a ring around you, as it were, a power to defend you.
I can understand that.
These things cause great distress to us in spirit, because these places, which quite often do good work, limit themselves so often by the very conditions which are created, often by those who are in charge, who hold position. The human element oftentimes enters, and sometimes, on rare occasions, but nevertheless sometimes, when you've had to take the chair, the atmosphere on the platform has been most trying, most difficult. A lot of your making, but nevertheless a very real thing to us to overcome.
Anyway,
I do not want to be distressing or disheartening. It is not my intention or my purpose in coming. But often I feel most strongly on these things. If only every spiritualist that is truly a spiritualist in knowledge and experience would put into the effort all that they have, give all that they can give in strength and in spiritual awareness and consciousness, spiritual endeavor, how different the picture could be. There are so many who could do such great work, many instruments indeed themselves, who would be amazed at the transformation that would come in their mediumship if they would give themselves wholeheartedly and completely on a spiritual level to the work. But so many, unfortunately, are, as it were, in the balance. They are trying, perhaps, some instances, but they're almost afraid to go too far. I do advocate balance. We do not expect you in your world, while yet in the world of flesh, to be completely and wholly concerned with things of spirit. That would not be practical nor wise. These things I know, but it is important that one should realize that this work is truly a spiritual work, and that one should give forth freely the things of the spirit, unafraid and strong in one's convictions. But many, unconsciously, perhaps in some instances, and others consciously, hold back the word of spirit. They check it. Even those who are in a kind of semi-trance condition, they allow their own thoughts to intermingle or interfere, and the pure spiritual message is oftentimes twisted and sometimes distorted, and in some cases is never given at all. These things are very sad for us. When the medium's ego becomes inflated, out goes the power of the spirit, and these are the times when much unhappiness is caused, and indeed much danger arises. One must always remember there are many grades, many conditions of life here. And like, to a great extent, will attract like. We do not expect perfection, I suppose, but we do expect integrity of spirit, integrity of purpose. I'm grateful for you. I'm grateful for your loyalty, for your love, for your strong desire to be of service in the highest sense. Indeed, if it were not for the fact that you are so concerned, I would not be able to work with you. For I've seen so many souls on this side who have started off endeavoring and helping and guiding and instructing and uplifting my instruments, to have been in the end disappointed, disheartened, and in some instances have had to to give up altogether. This I know, there's never heaven with us, and I'm grateful for all your love, all your sincerity, all that you endeavor on my behalf to do for others. It is truly a great work, child.
Keep helping me.
I thought perhaps there may be some questions.
Yes, there is. You probably know I went to see my friend who's having such a difficult road. She seems to have had a difficult life all her life. And I wondered, it's often said, especially where I live, that the spirit chooses what it takes on in this life before it comes. Is that so?
Will you repeat that?
That the spirit, before it comes to earth, takes on this particular load or experience, difficult life.
That may be in some instances, but I would not say it was a thing that was common. There may be certain souls, old souls, who feel the need to return to earth to gain some experience, and in consequence do take upon themselves a certain condition of life. But if we were to accept this too literally, it would rather suggest that one had little choice, inasmuch that although one would have a choice of returning to earth in a certain state of being or in a certain condition of life, it does rather suggest that everything is already planned and mapped out. And this I do not accept.
No. And she seems to have had such a life, and yet she's gallant, she's risen above it and come out smiling, and she helps others, and yet all the time she's drawn on by her own life to a great degree. She's a wonderful person.
It is true that only through pain and suffering, through disillusionment and heartache, does the spirit truly advance. It would not be good for man to live a life which in itself gave no opportunity for service, for development of character, for development of the spiritual self. And in consequence, life consists, for the majority of people, of many experiences, good and bad. But often those which the world calls good are not of necessity good for the spiritual point of view, and those that the world calls bad are oft times good from the point of view of the development of the soul and the spirit. These things one must try to see more clearly from the spiritual aspect. So many judge purely, even though they sometimes think they are judging from the spiritual standpoint, they are still judging purely on a material one. Oft times one hears a person who by their very nature and their very life are good as the world understands it. Yet nothing for them seems to be successful, nothing seems to go right. No matter what they may have done or achieved for others, their own life is unfortunate, to say the least. Then, who is to say what is good for that person, or what is right for that person, or what is indeed bad for that person? It has never been suggested that those who serve God and serve Him truly shall materially reap rewards, or that they shall materially benefit, or that they shall indeed materially be happy. Truly, those who serve God and do His work, giving all in service and in love, they who do these things do not do them surely with the idea of reward, of recompense. No, it seems to me that if one is to serve God truly and serve His children, one does it because one desires to do it with all one's heart, with all one's one does not think one second or one moment of recompense. These things are and can only be done in God's way, doing His will, His purpose, forgetting self. We have never suggested, I have never suggested to you, as I said earlier, that life, earthly life, would necessarily be simple or easy. I have said that as far as it is in my power, I will endeavor to make the path easier, to make it so that you can relax, in a sense, so that you can draw closer to us, that you should not be too disturbed by material things. In these things I do endeavor to help you, but it alters not the fact that we cannot, and it would not be good or wise for us to interfere too much in material affairs of individuals. You are given free will. Oftentimes people unconsciously create for themselves and those around them strife and trouble and anxiety. It is not easy. Your life is never intended, obviously, to be easy. It is intended to be a schoolroom. And sometimes we do not like the lessons that are taught us any more than sometimes we like the teachers.
Yes, I understand.
We must be patient, and we must remember and realize that in all things there is a meaning, there is a purpose, there is a reason. We may not see it at the time, but as time goes on, we become more spiritually conscious and aware and advanced. We can look back and we can see the wisdom of many things which at the time seemed unwise or unjust or unkind. God moved in a mysterious way, it is said, His wonders to perform. And this is indeed so true, my child.
Yes,
you must be patient.
Wonderful.
But at all times you must strive to do the work of the Father. Forget self in service, and blessings do come upon us, oftentimes when we do not deserve them. I must go, but my blessing I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Be of great strength, be assured that in the months that are to follow, we shall achieve many of the things we have desired. Our link is such that nothing can break it. It is a chain that binds us together in love. We are ever confident that we shall strengthen even more other links, and they shall also be enjoying the life of service. Peace be with you, child.
Bye-bye. Goodbye, dear. Thank you.